flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Man, it's so beautiful out there. Razor's Edge?
Yeah, I want to talk about AI. I know I talk about it a lot on Razor's Edge, but it frightens me, and it's something I think we need to keep an eye on.
You know, actually, when I realized today, I think of AI as being your problem. I mean, I'm probably going to live another 20, 30 years. Like, it's my problem, too. And it just kind of hit me today when I was watching all this stuff about DeepSeek. And I'm always thinking about it like, oh, that's a Phoebe problem. No.
Yeah, I mean,
kind of a day problem too.
It's probably more of a Phoebe problem or a longer problem for them than it is for us, but yeah, I mean, it's soon, man. It's already a big thing now and it's only getting bigger every year.
Yeah.
So the latest OpenAI researcher to quit, his name is Steven Adler. He quit in mid-November. Says he is pretty terrified by the pace of AI development these days. He's wrote on X, formerly Twitter, "Today it seems like we're stuck in a really bad equilibrium. Even if a lab truly wants to develop AGI responsibly, others can still cut corners to catch up, maybe disastrously, and this pushes all to speed up. I hope labs can be candid about real safety regulations needed to stop this."
Makes sense.
I mean, it makes sense with this DeepSeek thing. They're coming out, like we talked about last hour, they're saying, oh, this only took us $6 million. Well, the elephant in the room there is you stole all of that, right?
Right.
Like, come on.
Right.
Or just lied.
Yes, but likely both.
Mm-hmm.
But that does push these other companies like, hey, you got to be faster. We got to beat China. You got to beat your, you know, OpenAI, you have to stay ahead of Perplexity or whatever else is going on.
You know what it reminds me of? The people who don't believe that we went to the moon. And even some people who do, that it was a way to bankrupt Russia, you know, that we're going to the moon, and Russia's like, hell, we got to get to the moon.
Yeah.
It's similar to that, you know, like, are we going to bankrupt ourselves? Are we going to bankrupt someone else?
This is a deeper question. I don't think I have a good answer for it. And I guess my answer, if I'm thinking about it just quickly, is it's okay for it to be done in the private sector, but is this thing big enough where it should be run by governments? Or at least you should have to register what you're doing and give daily updates and making sure that, like, we're not cutting corners, that we're not doing things that are dangerous, that we're not doing things that are going to harm people unnecessarily.
Well, it could be.
Not that I trust governments, but I mean.
Either through regulation or nationalizing. You know?
This is what I'm saying. Like, some things are nationalized, right? I mean, there are certain things that are not just open for anyone, you know, and some of it's practicality, right? But I mean, you know, there. If you look at defense, you can't just make your own army. I mean, you can be a contractor, but you can't just be like, yep, we're an army. And we're going to take this land and we're going to cover this land. Like, you can't do that without permission. I mean, you can have a militia, but you got to keep that under the radar, right? You can't be like, nope, Montana's ours now. The U.S. would be like, no, it's not. Sorry. I don't know. It's fascinating. And because it is going to be that way in other places, right? I mean...
Yeah,
you think anything's going to happen in China without the Chinese government having a say over it?
To Rachel's point, this is some guy who did it for $6.5 million, and everyone in the world's like, no, you didn't.
Right.
This guy, Steven Adler, even went on to say, You know, I'm terrified of the pace of AI development, and it raises concerns about where I'll raise a future family, how much I'm going to save for retirement. But then I can't help but wonder, will humanity even make it to that point? Now, okay, just taking this with a grain of salt, this could be someone who left and is like, all right, I'm going to get my headline. That's definitely a possibility. But when you let your mind go to the dark place of like, they are in an arms race here and corners probably are being cut and we're creating something that we're admitting is smarter than us, it's kind of scary. Here's another thing that kind of scared me. A couple days ago, Sam Altman, who I really want to like because he's a St. Louisan, but I don't trust this guy. I'm going to be real. He said that AI will probably require changing the social contract, saying the whole structure of society will be up for debate and reconfiguration.
Hey, we probably can't get him, but let's try to get him on the show. Maybe Altman? The KMOX thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting. Is this basically the race for the bomb in World War II?
Maybe bigger.
Because at that time, it's funny, because everything that we are all saying, everything I'm hearing in those quotes, everything that we're saying and talking about, sounds exactly like the conversations I've read about when it comes to the Manhattan Project.
Here's what I don't know, and this is knowable. I could probably seek this out and find it, but I'm surprised at how little cheerleading there is for it. Tell me what I'm going to get out of it.
Right, right.
I'm hearing a lot about how it's going to ruin my life. But how is it going to cure Alzheimer's? Is it going to cure cancer? Is it going to allow us all to live on universal basic income? What are the good points to it?
Yeah. So would you guys say, just in hindsight, because I don't know, again, I don't think I have a good answer to this, but figure this is the topic. What was the development of the atom bomb and eventually the hydrogen bomb? Did that end up being good, bad, neutral?
I would say so far, it has served its purpose in that we dropped it twice and we've never dropped it again. We've still had conflicts. We've had horrible conflicts, but they haven't escalated to the point they did in World War II. That would be a positive.
But no superpower on superpower just slugging it out.
Right. But try telling Japanese people that.
Or telling the Vietnamese people who had a war there, or people in the Middle East where there have been
people in Ukraine
wars
now.
Not right, right. I mean, the wars exist. It's just not direct open confrontation between Russia, U.S., China, U.S., whatever.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, is those bombs are you know, heavily guarded by these governments. They're in the hands of a very few people. Artificial intelligence is going to be a bomb, so to speak, in the hands of anyone who's able to pay the $200 a month or however much OpenAI costs. Like, look, I don't know that much about it. I only know, you know, I do watch it quite a few YouTube videos about it, and I try to read articles about it, but I don't fully comprehend what this could turn into. I just know whenever someone who's worked on the project drops out and says, like, yeah, I'm pretty terrified, this could go really bad. Anyway, I'm going to enjoy my little break here. It's like, oh, well, that makes me take pause. Makes me take pause when Sam Altman says we're going to have to restructure society. I mean, honestly, how dare you? Why do you get to make that decision for everyone else? I get
what
that we need
he
to
meant
progress.
By that? Did he go into any details?
I don't know the details of like what I can infer that means, like, hey, you're going to have to give up on like these. It's just going to be different now. Like, if you think you don't want something to happen, like, it's just going to be different than we want it to be. And it's
that is very chilling.
Yeah.
To restructure society.
But again, the counter to that could be, I don't know what he said or what his intention is, but I could read that the other way, that things are out of whack right now, that too many have too much, too few have too much. And because the structure of society now is a very small number of people have a whole lot of resources and a whole lot of people don't have any or have almost none. If that's the thing that we're reconstructing, because AI can solve problems, right? If it's, or it can create maybe better outcomes when it comes to healthcare, or can solve some problems with medical care, whatever it is. If that's what we're fixing, would anybody protest that?
But I guess we just have to hope that it swings that way.
Yeah, I'm not saying it will, because if I have to put money on anything, I have money on this benefiting people with money more than it benefits us. I just will always bet that way.
But that's the problem, is that people with money always sell us things based on it's going to benefit us.
Right, right.
That's how people become billionaires.
Yes. And by the way, some of those things do benefit us.
Yeah.
Okay, one more thing about AI here. A new study suggests that frequent AI use has a bad impact on our brains. So they did this study from 666 participants in the United Kingdom, and the individuals were grouped by age, so 17 to 25, 26 to 45, and 46 and older. Everyone had varying educational backgrounds, so it's pretty broad swath. But they measured AI tool usage, cognitive offloading tendencies, and critical thinking skills. The younger generations ended up relying more heavily on AI, probably because they know how to use it
right,
better, right?
Right.
And used it more frequently than those in the 46 and older category. But when they measured the higher critical thinking scores, the older participants who were using AI less were scoring higher on critical thinking. So, I mean, this is kind of like a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the young lady who used ChatGPT or something
right.
to do her assignment. She's like, this is all I have to do. Well, the argument we made was you're taking away the critical thinking aspect mm-hmm. of it.
Which is why you're there.
Right.
Right, right.
So, I mean, is this just going to make critical thinking obsolete?
I think it's, not to be cute, I think it's going to be like the effect on our brains that WALL-E was on our bodies, where everyone's laying around fat on a hovercraft. Like, you don't have to move, so why would I move? You know, technology has done this for me. Why would you think critically if you don't have to think critically? And especially for young people, someone our age might say, this isn't good for me. Just because I can float around in a hovercraft, I'm going to do some push-ups. Just because I can ask ChatGPT anything, I'm going to do the heavy lifting myself. But if I were 19 years old, you kidding me?
Well, it's up to us, and by us, I mean everybody that's older, to make it very clear and to also create consequences for the taking that approach, because there will be advantages to not just relying on something that everyone else can do. What separates you from other people? Well, if everybody's doing the same thing and you've got an advantage because you can do that thing too, you know how to use that stuff, but you can also use your own critical thinking. You can also do the push-ups that you're talking about. You will have an advantage, and I think we need to plant that seed more often.
It's true.
And even if it means being harsh, sometimes you have to enforce it, like that professor was.
I will have that talk with Phoebe. That's a good way to put it. In the real workforce, not in your weird little paradise of KU, but in the real world, that's what matters.
Advantages.
What can you do that the guy before you couldn't
why
do?
Why are you better than the other person for this particular job or this particular opportunity? And if you're all doing the same thing, well, what differentiates you?
Also, I don't know if you guys feel this way. When I went to college back in the early 80s at SIU, it was just sort of the beginning of people taking computer classes. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was called, MIS or something like that, information systems. And I took one class and I dropped it the second day. Like, it was clear. But a lot of people have made really good livings getting into the computer industry and the technology industry. This one doesn't feel like that. Like, oh, you need to go into AI. Really? I mean, it seems like the kind of thing that, like, 1,000 people in the world can do, and then all the rest of us just use it. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's not entirely true. Google has, and I just know this because I know somebody who works in it, Google has, like, entire fleets, like entire buildings full of people, like office buildings that are working on like Google Gemini and those kind of, you know, which is Google's AI and stuff like that. It's very much, I think, and
who are kind of normie smart people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are just like regular engineers and stuff like that.
And keep in mind,
I think
too,
it does give the impression that it's just like, you know, of 8 shadow people who know how this stuff works and they put it all together. But I do believe that it is becoming more and more of like an industry type thing.
Yeah, I do think, and I'm not going by my own thoughts, I've read about this, that one of the things that is a concern in some groups, but just an observation from others, is that just being able to code is not going to matter because the AI will be able to code. You'll just be able to say, give me a code to do this, and it'll do it. And then you can tweak it, play with it, put it where it needs to go, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the people that I saw were commenting on it were like, if you're going into information technology stuff, go into AI, go into the higher end stuff.
Do you think it's going to be the issue of our time from here on out?
Such a good question.
Could be.
I mean, it could be, but I mean, I feel like this past summer, there was even like a discussion that said, maybe this AI stuff isn't going to go as far as we think it's going to go. Like, maybe it's all kind of just a money-making farce for the time being, and there's only so far this technology can actually take it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. Most people seem to think that we're headed for the singularity. I think once that hits, yeah, like kind of nothing else will matter anymore. We'll hit a new form of evolution, essentially. But with that comes the changing of the social contract, like Sam Altman said. And I can't help but feel dread when I hear that, just because I've lived a certain way.
I don't feel excited.
I don't go like, oh, yay, now everything's going to... It's like, that could go a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
That could go a lot of different ways.
And the way, even the upside way that they might do it, I don't have to work anymore, isn't a sales pitch for all of us.
No.
Yeah. I don't want to not work.
Right. Because it's fun.
Yeah.
And also, like, sitting around is not necessarily fun.
Yeah. Getting fat like on Wall-E. Wall-E.
What if that was the...
I can live that life.
What if that was the future? Like, that was, hey, guys, this is what's coming.
Do you see the size of those sodas? I mean, I think I could deal with it.
Yeah.
I could live.
Floating did look pretty fun.
Yeah, I could float.
226 DGS. Andrew.
Yes.
Big soda news?
Yes. Okay, I'm very excited about this. So you know they've been making the Cokes, right? They've been making the special Cokes that you can get in the bottles or cans or whatever.
Like spiced Coke.
And let's be honest, they've all been pretty bad. None of them have been like particularly great. There's been a couple of...
They've been fun, but not something that you would get.
Yeah, there's been a couple of winners, but for the most part, no thank you, I'm good. But the next one on the list, coming very soon, orange cream Coke.
Hmm,
I'm all in.
Why does that sound better to you?
That's a really good flavor, and cream soda already, like cream already mixes very well with cola. They've been trying that. There's already like a vanilla cream Coke that's pretty good, and there's a Dr. Pepper and cream soda that's spectacular.
Are you the one that told me about nasty sodas?
Dirty sodas.
Nasty something different.
Yes. Dirty sodas. Now, that's a little bit different because that's actual, like, coffee
real
creamer.
Real cream.
Yeah, like coffee creamer versus just, like, you know,
ice cream
flavoring. Yeah.
I liked
I think you can use ice cream in them, too.
I liked the Coke with coffee that came out a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Did you ever try that?
No, I didn't, because I'm not really a coffee guy, but...
pretty much just tasted like Coke with coffee, and you know what? I like both of those things a lot. So.
Okay. They were in Laverne and Shirley.
I was just getting ready to ask you, was Laverne ahead of... she ahead of the curve? She used to drink milk and Pepsi, and I always thought that's the grossest sounding thing in the world.
Now it's huge.
Dirty soda.
It still sounds gross,
nasty
though.
Soda.
Nasty soda. Nasty soda.
I'm
going to
call it nasty soda from now on.
Give me some of that nasty
it's
soda.
So appetizing.
Wait for those. Wait till we bring out the funky soda.
I have a blind spot. I don't like things that taste like things.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Well, so I don't think
even
it's
like
going to be
Oreos.
Like...
So you don't like a thing that tastes like different things.
Yes.
I don't think, to be clear, I don't think it's going to be like, at least I hope it's not, like a soda, like a Coke, and when you drink it, it tastes like a creamsicle or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's going to be accompanied by the orange.
Yeah, so it'll be like, it'll just taste like you poured a little bit of...
Just a hint.
Yeah, creamsicle into your Coca-Cola. I think it's going to... I'm very excited about it. I think it's going to taste
great.
If
you just cut a piece off of a creamsicle and threw it in your Coke.
Exactly. Then you'd have a nasty dreamsicle.
I do love creamsicle.
Yeah, those are good.
Mm-hmm. I am a recent convert to the orange cream. Sorry, I didn't realize.
Welcome. Welcome to our side.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 233. Now and then we'd like to say thank you to our clients by featuring them on the show. Our buddy Kyle is here from Zero Res. Good to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
So you guys are kind of going through a little bit of a rough time with the weather especially. I mean... We're all just like, everything's on hold.
Yep. It's always slow for us in January. You know, the holidays come and go. People are just kind of done spending any money that they have. And then put snow and ice on the ground. Then we're really, really slow. They don't want us in their house until that snow comes out. And luckily today, 50 degrees outside.
Nice.
The snow's gone.
Yes.
Or getting gone.
And it looks good for like the next 2 weeks.
Yep. We plan on getting busier the next 2 weeks. So if you're going to call, now's a good time because we're going to ramp up. And in our typically slow season, the slots get smaller and smaller to book. So now's a good time.
Yeah. So for the uninitiated, the people who haven't been listening to the show very long and don't know what we're talking about, introduce Zero Res.
Sure. So we're a carpet cleaning company. We do carpet, tile, area rugs. We have an air duct division. You know, we clean your house top to bottom. Our kind of claim to fame, I would say, would be our water. We have a specialized water that we produce in-house. So we're going to clean chemical-free. We're not going to have those hard soaps and chemicals that other companies are going to put in their water to help facilitate that clean. We can do that with just our water, which means we're going to leave less residue behind and get a good, safer clean for your people, pets, and the planet.
When you see the other guys advertise, I'm sure they're good people. They're making a living. They're supporting their family. But you think, like, what a bunch of crap.
You know, it's... We all clean different ways, and our biggest competitor is going to be the mom and pop with one van out of the garage. Absolutely. You know, that's what's going to take most of our business, and they're good cleaners. They're going to clean well. They do a good job. Like, we're just speaking off the air, they put their back into it. But what they don't have is the science behind it. They don't have the research and the technology that we have that we've done to clean your house the most effective way, the most efficient way, the safest way possible.
And you guys do all flooring.
Yep. We just got into hardwood flooring in the St. Louis area. So yeah, any type of flooring that you have in your house, we're going to clean. Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, have you been to my house? Lots of hardwood. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? What's the modern way to clean the hardwood?
So, there's a few different methods. You can scrub it. You can sand it. You can refinish it. What we do, we come in, we have a specialized product that we're going to put on it. That's going to strip the oils off of the hardwood. We're going to scrub it with, a counter-rotating brush to get, you know, the dirt and grime out of the grooves. And then we're going to come in and pretty much pressure wash it and not flood and suck, but we're going to pressure wash and get the water off real quick and then come back over with a polish and give it that shine back.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. We also, Kyle and I were just talking about that when we were all young men, most people we knew made their living with their back.
Yeah.
And you knew a few people that made it with their brain. Yeah. But for the most part, we're all just busting our ass.
Yep.
And now it's kind of reversed. And even in our situation, even Kyle's, I mean, you come out to the house and you're hauling hoses, but I miss going home physically tired from my day at work. I go home mentally tired, but I miss sore muscles.
You can get those.
I know.
I can help you.
I belonged to a gym for 2 years. I haven't seen the inside of it. So,
you know, and every one
but
of my.
But you had no choice when you're doing the manual labor,
yes.
Right? When you're doing the physical stuff.
And every one of my techs come home each day physically sore. They get
used to seen
that,
it.
But they're tired, which is what I love about what we do. And there is a sense of sales to it. I mean, sales is a legitimate part of every industry, but my technicians are the sales guys. And what I love about it is they're also going to be the ones sweating what they sell. They're not just building a ticket up and then giving it to somebody
taking
else.
Off and here comes
they're,
someone else.
Whatever they sell to you, whatever they're asking to get, because I want to clean your entire house. That's my goal. The more I clean well, the happier you're going to be and longer. So whatever they try to sell you, they're putting their sweat behind it and actually doing the work.
Yeah. What's the St. Louis market like for you guys? Because I know you're national.
More carpet than most areas. So we have a lot of bases down south. It's going to be mostly tile. We have a lot of bases up north. One of our sister branches is in Minneapolis, which they don't care. Whenever I say 20 degrees outside, they say, suck it.
Right. Yeah.
It's negative 20 here. So they have a little bit longer, slower season than we do, but it's they're used to it. So we have more carpet than most.
How do you judge? Because I had a friend, this has been years ago. I've been with you guys so long, but years ago, I had a buddy who, unbeknownst to me, was fussing with his wife, who was saying, let's use Glover's place. And he was like, these carpets are trash. Mm-hmm. We have to go to Michael's Flooring and just replace them. So let's give them a shot. And you guys came out and really blew them both away.
Yeah.
How do you judge when you go in and you look at someone's carpet? Because, you know, I've had times where I would be embarrassed to have you see my carpet.
Sure.
How do you judge that and go, we can get it back 80%. We can get it back to almost new. We can do this.
Well, it's between us and the customer. What do they want to get out of it? You know, do they want to replace the carpet? Are they looking for just a quick fix? Are they trying to get through the holidays? You know, or do they want this carpet to look better for the next year or two? How deep is the soiling got? Is it into the pad? Is it into the subfloor? If it's into the subfloor, we can't touch it. You got to rip that up and put a sealant down on the subfloor and then put carpet back down on top of it. So also my guys care about getting a positive result in the end. So it's them too. They don't want to clean something just for it to come back and look the exact same.
Yeah.
Then they don't see good results and they get kind of down on themselves. You know, we talk a lot. We do a lot of bio, a lot of dog urine. You know, that's most of our business. If dogs didn't pee inside, we'd be out of work.
We'd be out of work.
You know, and then but guys are and gals are kind of they get weary on customers turning that stuff down. And I always said, well, don't underestimate the power of a quick fix. You know, maybe they don't want to spend a lot of money to make this problem go away forever, but they can spend a little bit of money and make it go away for a week. You know, and that could give them some relief to come back and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much that there's a direct answer on whether we can save the carpet, make it look better for every customer. It's what do they want to get out of it? What do they want to spend on it? And how long do they want those results to last? If you want them to last forever, replace the carpet, get rid of the dog, maybe, you know.
Right.
That's the only way to fix it is you got to get rid of the source, which would be maybe not have the dog in the house, which no one wants to do that.
Yeah.
So it's just how often do you want it cleaned? How long lasting do you want the results to be? And how well do you want it to look in the end?
What do people need to look out for? Let's say they call you guys in two other places. Mm-hmm. Like I'm always a big advocate of like, yeah, get a bunch of bids. We'll beat them straight up. What should people look out for with other carpet companies when they come in? What are some of the hooks?
Yeah. So are they safe? What kind of equipment are they going to use to keep your house safe? Are they going to put the corner guards down? Are they going to put shoe covers on when they walk in the house? Look at their equipment. Does it look new? Does it look beat up? Does it look old? One of the big problems you have with carpet cleaners out of the garage is how much water they're putting down. That's what's going to cause concern whenever we leave. You know, when we do studies, I say we, but National Carpet Cleaning Institutes do study on what people want out of the carpets being cleaned. Above it actually being clean, they want it dry. That's above it being clean. They want it dry and they want it dry fast. Well, one of the problems with this with inferior equipment is you can't get the water back up that you put down. So look at what they're using. Ask questions. How long is this going to be dry? Is this going to be dry? If they say anything longer than 8 hours, you know, that's going to be a stopping point for me because it should be dry 4 to 6.
I've always worried about like the places where you rent the octopuses, mm-hmm. that I'm just putting someone else's filth into my carpet.
Yeah. So they don't clean the inside of those out. They just don't ever get cleaned and they can't. It's too, you know, there's too much going on. Our equipment, it's advanced, but it's also simple, not a whole lot of moving parts, so we can keep it clean for a long time. The other big problem with those off-the-shelf rentals is what I just said. You're putting a lot of water down in your carpet that you can't get back up. And then you're going to get mold issues.
So you guys always have a DGS deal, mm-hmm. and you always will make like a dentist office who doesn't have 3 rooms of carpeting. Mm-hmm. They have 8. You always make them a great deal,
yep.
too.
Yep. So right now, it's a special time of the year. We're doing, with a promo code JOLLY24, so spell it out, JOLLY24, or tell the rep whenever you call in, at 24% off all services. This is such a good deal that when we have our meetings that I have 3 times a week with other managers across the country, the biggest gripe we get is stop with the 24. We've got to make that go away on the managerial side. We're booking too much with this. We're losing too much money. So it's going to go away. So
take advantage.
Take advantage now because that is probably the best deal that we're ever going to have. I can't see a Jolly 25 coming next year. It's just not going to happen. We're getting too many complaints on a higher level.
Yeah.
So it's going to go away. And it's going to go away at the end of this month. So call now. You're not restricted to book in January. I mean, to get it cleaned in January. You just got to book it. So call and book.
Very good. 314-474-2020, zeroresstl.com. Kyle, always good to see you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me in.
DGS. Okay, you guys are going to want to Google this because it sounds made up, but it's not. I read 2 articles. They think within 2 years, and I don't know what this breakthrough is. It's called a SPROG, which I think may be some version of sperm and egg. But they have developed a way that one human can have a baby.
Okay.
So that you could just decide, I'm going to have a baby, but I don't want a partner. And I don't want someone else's DNA, and you just have a baby. Kind of changes everything, right?
But that can't, like, I can't do that.
Right. No, I think you could. You'd have to do it through a surrogate, obviously, but
I'm saying, like, I can't.
But I think you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, I could, yeah, but I couldn't, like, carry that.
Do you want to?
No, I'm just thinking of, like, what's a Schwarzenegger movie?
Oh, right.
What was that called?
He does, yeah. Mr. Mom. He does want
no,
to.
No, that's not Mr. Mom. That's,
yeah, that's
Mom. Michael Keaton.
That's Michael Keaton.
No, Mr. Mom. What was that?
And all he did was, like, cook and clean. He didn't carry a child.
Right, Mr. Mom. Right. He just dried the baby's butt on a dryer in a bathroom.
I Googled SPROG.
Did anything come up?
No.
Oh, damn.
Well, so, I mean, you could technically already do this just with like a pre-fertilized egg.
But it would have
right?
the other
no,
person's
No, this would have another person's DNA, right? This would be just...
So this would be
you're
entirely...
You're providing all of the DNA.
Entirely the woman's DNA and
or,
nobody else's.
Or yours.
How are they going to create an egg out of a man's DNA? When you're born with all of, as a female, you have all of your eggs living inside of you. It's not like they like conjure up.
Yes.
So how would they create one from a man's DNA?
Don't know.
Science.
Yes.
Sprugs.
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 Which is
they're like pogs.
Returning no results.
I know. And sprog, by the way, translates from Danish to English. The word is language.
Could it be spurgs? That sounds...
Now you're just getting nasty. As nasty as the soda.
Nasty soda, dude.
I hate myself
nasty
for...
Nasty soda, Andrew.
I hate myself for saying that.
Could it be spurgs? Spigs? Yourself. Yeah, Google, yeah.
DNA.
You know, I wonder if they figured that out from the frogs.
From right? Jurassic Park.
No, I'm serious. Like, there are species that can just be like, well...
Maybe that's where spog comes from.
I know, that's what I'm wondering. If that's kind of the idea that
sperm frogs.
Maybe they figured out how that happens and then they know how to then make that happen chemically somehow in another.
Sprog, a informal British term for a child.
Good enough for me.
Tangentially. Can reach without reaching too hard.
Have yourself a little sprog all by yourself.
Maybe that's what they meant. Maybe they were like, if you use this technique,
they also
you
said,
you'll have your own sprog.
Now I'm just talking crap. But the article also said that it would work for thruples.
Wutzels?
Or same-sex couples.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That you could also have babies.
Well, thruples would be, I mean, as long as it's a person with each reproductive organs, you could have a baby anyway if you're in a thruple, right?
I don't know why you're fighting me on this so hard.
I'm just curious. Well,
maybe they have a way to like get all three DNAs in there.
Hmm.
Hold, please.
Okay, are you looking for it on your...
No.
I wish I would get a text from Steve saying, stop saying sprog.
Was the doctor in charge of this? By the way, one of the Google results is whatever word offensive. So I may have really stepped in.
But, this might be our last show.
Is the person that came up with, is that Dr. Moreau?
I get what you're saying. I get that joke.
I don't. What is it?
He made animal hybrids on an island in a scary movie.
The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Now Jimmy Griffin's sending me funny messages.
And it was actually Dr. Frankensprog.
I don't think I can.
Oh, we're off the air.
Yes.
We're at the top
do.
Of the hour. Jimmy, I can't wait.
He sent me a funny word that I don't know what it means. I'm no longer comfortable just saying stuff since he hit me with sprags.
Okay, I found a article.
Good enough. Let's go to break. Play that YMT.
What does the article say? Does it say that it's a sprog?
It's called I don't see the word sprog. It's a in vitro gametogenesis.
Right.
Which involves custom making human eggs and sperm in the laboratory from any cell in a person's body.
Huh. Any cell, huh?
But that doesn't, I mean, that's a pretty huge jump because you think about people who struggle with infertility. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're just able to create new eggs for them. But mm-hmm. now they're saying like, no, we can take any cell. We can make an egg out of it.
Maybe.
Even if you're biological male. That's mm-hmm. kind of wild.
That's the new frontier.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Moreau.
That's what I'm saying.
He's like, nailed it.
The new
Speaking of
frontier.
Eggs. How much are they getting for these days, right? Am I right?
I know, they are expensive.
It's going to get super expensive. This mm-hmm. could honestly be a big problem for Trump. Because, you know, he promised to have Ukraine solved in 24 hours and Gaza, and all the prices are going to come down magically, and they're not, and eggs are going to hit a new high. Those sort of kitchen table issues.
Did you see our story earlier today, the KMOX story?
I did not.
Stuart McMillan. Chili Max.
He's on the eggs?
Chili Max downtown, one of our favorite places, is trying to keep eggs on the menu because prices are soaring.
Yeah, they're like struggling with egg prices.
Our friends at Chili, I mean, like that, you want to talk about the reality, like that's a diner that lives on slinging eggs and things along
right.
those lines.
We should go support them.
We should. Yeah. Buy some of their eggs.
We should go sling some eggs.
I'll buy some eggs.
Yeah, slinger.
It's been a while since we've been
there. Yeah.
It has been. Because of the weather.
We can go tomorrow?
Hell yes. Let's go tomorrow. You kidding me?
All right. Let's go get some eggs.
It's been a great segment.
Yeah. We went from
all about eggs
to eggs.
From sprogs to sprags to eggs.
We've gotten so much done.
Now we're going to go to Chili Pass.
Yeah, then we get when we take the break, we can find out what Jimmy said.
We could all have individual kids.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Or you and I could have kids.
That'd be cute.
A little bulldog, wouldn't it?
I say, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
Oh, I have.
That would be, as they say, something.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. Still trying to make sense of what Jimmy said.
I got it. Well,
what did he say?
I can't say it.
We'll work on it during the break.
Just whisper it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't get in trouble if you say it.
Yeah. If you say it quietly.
You'll get in trouble if you whisper it.
Yeah, if you say it quietly, nobody will care.
It's the volume at which you say something offensive.
Yeah, you know, when you put your full chest into it, it's like, oh, that's not cool. But if you whisper it, it's all right.
But if you put your full chest in it and you just own it, then maybe people are like, oh, okay.
Like I
did at the beginning with Sprog.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because you could have made that up and we would have been like, Sprog?
Evidently, I did.
Because we're like, sure, we'll take that at its face.
There appears to be no
you
backup.
You did. You said it very confidently, and that's why we bought it.
Because I believed my phone.
You didn't make it up, did you?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm not better than that. I just didn't in this situation.
Yeah, hell of an experiment.
I was like, I need something for the show. Hey, did you hear?
Sitting around at home watching Ancient Aliens, I'm like, sperm, egg,
what if we called it a sprog?
Sprog.
Yeah, where's...
Dave's like, I'm going to come up with a backstory, flesh this thing out.
You're wondering where the O comes from.
Yeah. I am. I'm wondering what that's all about.
We're all wondering that.
That's when you go, oh, my.
Questions plague mankind.
Oh, they really did it.